Would you say this qualifies as a lamb? Lightly cloudy skies, predicted highs in the 40s, basically no detectable breeze. The month of March is exiting, after all, and meteorologists in particular, will likely be assessing whether or not this year conforms to that old adage about March weather, namely that if March comes in with lion-like weather, it will exit with lamb-like weather, and vice versa. It seems to me that this March had a snowy start, which might qualify as lion-like conditions. And so, once again, it seems like the old phrase will hold true, since today appears to be proceeding, at least for the time being, with lamb-like quietness. That old adage, however, is hardly something one would want to bank on. The weather patterns of this world are too variable and too changing for anyone to place any confidence in them. There is one lamb-like, lion-like scenario, however, that was forecast centuries before it took place and which was actually carried out with exact precision. For God himself was the one who made certain prophecies concerning his son, and this morning I plan on sharing some of those prophecies as well as the stated fulfillments as recorded in Scripture. We'll consider, first of all, how God declared far in advance of the event that Jesus would come into the world and serve the world as a lamb. One of the ways he revealed this was through the rituals connected with Old Testament Passover celebrations. The Lord told Moses, "On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you." And then the Lord added additional details concerning his son, the Lamb, through prophets such as Isaiah, who said, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." As forecast, Jesus came into the world as just such a lamb and served in this way precisely. He was spotless, free from even the slightest hint of sin. He stood silent before the governor who would shear him of his life. He had all of the weight of the sins of the world placed directly upon his shoulders. He was then killed at precisely the right moment. The blood that was shed at his crucifixion was credited to our spiritual account, however, and because of that blood that was shed, we have been rescued from that plague of death. Hebrews declares that Jesus offered himself without spot to God and explains how it was not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. It was a wonderful display of divine love, of placing the concern for others above those of oneself, of tremendously humble service. It was meekness at its height. But how often such meekness is misunderstood. The world views such humble service as being defeat. It views the Lord's meekness as being weakness. But there was much more to his march through earthly life than this display of humility and his sacrifice. For in this lamb was also embodied the heart, the power, the strength, and the determination of a lion. And it was like a lion that he went out of this world at the completion of his mission, also in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. As far back as we can go, to the time of the Garden of Eden, we hear the forecast made by God concerning God's Son destroying the prince of darkness with lion-like power. The devil was told that Jesus, the Son of God, would crush his head, a theme echoed elsewhere in the Old Testament. The psalmist, for example, announced, "He will break in pieces the oppressor." And that's just what our lion-like Savior did. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Those of you who have seen the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe can easily envision this. I think it was particularly well portrayed in that analogous presentation of the final encounter between the lion and the army of evil. The lion appeared unexpectedly just when the evil forces thought that they had the upper hand, that they were the dominant force. And he pounces on the representative of the devil and overcomes with a sharp lion-like bite to the neck. So what now? When Jesus comes again, when he appears next, will it be as a lion or as a lamb? Well, both, actually. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked," says John in Revelation, "and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb." As the gentle sacrificial lamb, Jesus will appear once again, likely still bearing the scars of his crucifixion, and will embrace all who have believed in him in this life and will usher us to glory. But as a roaring lion, he will still carry out divine justice, driving away to destruction those who have rejected his salvation. How blessed we are, therefore, to recognize already now in this life that Jesus is the select Lamb of God through whom we have complete atonement for every sin and have come to see him as that triumphant Lion of Judah already now, so that when he does appear again, it will be a sight that fills us with joy and excitement. He comes to judge the nations, a terror to his foes, a light of consolation and blessed hope to those who love the Lord's appearing. O glorious Son, now come, send forth thy beams so cheering, and guide us safely home. You have before you, I presume, a sheet which has hymn material on both sides. The hymn's stanzas selected are the first four stanzas of The Lamb, to be followed immediately by the four stanzas printed of The Lion of Judah.